To some, he came from nowhere. Now he's a Heisman Trophy candidate, and one poll has him as a first-round draft pick in the NFL. So what makes Joe go? We'll talk to his father, the former coach who retired just so he could see his son play his final season in Tigertown. Now there's a new craze in college football. If your season's not going well, just shut it down. Redshirt, get ready for another season. We'll talk about that in Houston. LSU basketball and the rest of college basketball getting underway with practices this week. We'll hear what Will Wade had to say and more on the New Orleans Saints as they get ready for them. How about them Cowboys coming to town? All these stories and much more today. It is Tuesday, September 24th, 2019.
Snap, he drops back from his Redskin 21, throws a pass. It's intercepted on the play by Quentin Dix at the 30. Down the sideline, the 20. A block at the 10. Down the sideline, the 5. Breaks a tackle into the end zone. Touchdown, Chicago. A pick six by the former Redskin. Ha-ha, Quentin Dix. He sends his running back in motion. He gets the shotgun snap. He backpedals, and now he runs. He's at the 10. He throws a short pass. Backpedaling. Touchdown reception. Just a yard inside the goal line by Gabriel. It was a belt-high catch. Backpedaling alone. It was too easy.
The defender gets his arm kind of wrapped around the waist of the wide receiver, and you're allowed to do that as long as you don't pull. And there was a little bit pull on the jersey there by Norman.
There's a quick throw, and it's a touchdown pass. The quarterback got it with a first and goal, and Trubisky throws in the end zone and grab there for a touchdown by Taylor Gabriel.
Oh, and good afternoon and welcome. What a snoozer of a Monday Night Football game it was. The Chicago Bears improved to 2-1 with a 31-15 just demolition of the now 0-3 Washington Redskins. And it's not a question of if, it's just a question of when Daniel Snyder pulls the plug on Jay Gruden, because he's done. The Chicago Bears, who the Saints play coming up not too far from now, How in the world, John Gruden, do you trade Khalil Mack? How in the world do you do that? What a disruptive force. How do you let him go? Much to the delight of Chicago, they look like the monsters of the Midway yet again. Trevathan and all those guys. I mean, my good, Akeem Hicks, that is a ha-ha Clinton Dix and more and more. That's a defense. And Jay Gruden, it's just a matter of time. Why do you keep putting the quarterback in? Go with the young kid. My goodness gracious. Go with Haskins from Ohio State. Everybody else is doing it. It might salvage. No, it's not going to salvage your job. You're done. But anyway, ho-hum on that. Good afternoon. Enough of that garbage. Welcome. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, yours truly, Studio 1A, my main man CD, producer extraordinaire in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, which houses KLWB, which is 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Busy show planned for you and yours. He is, it's been an amazing journey for one Joe Burrow. Amazing. In an offense now that seems to suit him to a T. And as I said earlier, he has gone from basically nowhere, off the radar, to now being number two in contention for the Heisman Trophy, being in contention for the SEC Player of the Year. He's won three SEC Offensive Players of the Week performances. this offense that LSU has is scoring at a record clip. It's kind of amazing. They're scoring so fast. Vanderbilt coach Derek Mason said today in Nashville that Joe Burrow is the best quarterback he's seen in his 6 years at Vanderbilt. So, I mean, lots of kudos and well wishes and all that kind of stuff. It's been remarkable. Todd Politz, who is the stat geek guru from LSU, near and dear friend, said that LSU's offense has scored in less than 3 minutes. Get this now. In less than 3 minutes, 28 times through four games this season. They scored under 3 minutes 27 times in the entire 2018 season. So it's a rapid clip, rapid clip. Ed Orgeron said today that they did a study and they're scoring. Our touchdown drives are averaging 1 minute and 48 seconds. I can see why the defense is saying, hey, dude, can you just slow it down just a little bit? Just a little bit? But anyway, Joe Burrow is just, it's just been a remarkable, remarkable start to the season. If he would continue this pace, it would be ridiculous. He'd break every record in LSU football quarterbacking history. He's on pace for 55 touchdowns and almost 5,000 yards passing. I don't know if that's sustainable, but gosh, it's been so fun so far. It really has. And we will, we look forward to it. About 2:32 this afternoon, we'll talk with his dad. Jimmy Burrow will join us, the former defensive coordinator for the Ohio Bobcats. He's probably glad he left after the beating that the Raging Cajuns put on Frank Solich's squad. But he retired, so he would have this opportunity to see every one of his son's games in his final year in college. Think about that as a coach. He probably didn't get to go to any games. Certainly not in Joe's college career at Ohio State and now at LSU, but he's been to every one of them. So we will get to know Joe Burrow through the mind and the voice of his dad, Jimmy Burrow. So be sure you stick around for that. That's coming up in about 22 minutes. In hour number two, we'll have our Hot Topic segment. Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag will join us. No LSU football game this weekend, but Will Wade gets back on the court Friday. It's their first practice as they get ready for the 2019-2020 season. They've got 30 practices they can get in the span of 42 days. That's the NCAA rule, and then it's time to tip it off and get ready. So we'll talk to Tyler as Will Wade and Skylar Mays addressed the media yesterday afternoon during our showtime. We'll talk about what they had to say. I think it's going to be a fun team. They're going to miss Cavell Bigby Williams, the big man in the middle who just his presence made you think a little bit. He didn't block every shot. He altered an awful lot of them, but he was there with that big wingspan and that nearly 7 foot frame that made you think when you went into the paint. I think LSU's going to be a smaller team, but they're going to be fun to watch. They're going to jack up threes, and they're going to run and gun. So we'll talk to Tyler about that. And then as per the norm, Mike Nabors of Cox Sports Television will join us, and we will talk about the New Orleans Saints. Huge matchup coming to town. I know the Saints fans hate the Atlanta Falcons. I know that. Dallas might be a close second as to the disdain that they have, Saints fans have, for that silver and blue with the star on the helmet. And the Cowboys took it to the Saints a year ago. Now can Sean Payton come up with another game plan for a Sunday night primetime NBC ball game against a team that's playing as well as anyone? I think you put the New England Patriots at the top of the list. Their offense is tremendous. Their defense has only given up 5 points a game. They're giving up, like, I don't know, 50 yards a game on the ground, if that much. Might be the best through 3 weeks, might be the best Patriots team yet. Antonio Brown or no Antonio Brown. They're on a record-setting pace. But the Dallas Cowboys are right there close behind them. So a huge, huge undertaking for the Saints. Later in the week on Friday, we've got David Hellman. Used to be in Baton Rouge. Now he's been covering the Dallas Cowboys for a couple of years. David's going to join us on Friday. Since no LSU football game, we'll go heavy Raging Cajuns. We'll go heavy high school. We'll go heavy Saints and Cowboys. So we'll have you covered throughout the course of the week. So, with that in mind, we are brought to you each and every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. There's 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. And there's a reason for that. It's because they're so popular. And they're so popular because you get such a huge selection to choose from at prices that are unheard of. It's almost worth the trip, even if you don't need anything. It's worth the trip to just go in there and say, oh my gosh, I saw this at some other place for this price. Look at the discount I get here. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Everything you need under the sun and then some. Hot meals throughout the course of the day, breakfast, lunch, and some dinner. The cleanest restrooms you'll ever find, and you know how significant and important that is. And discounts galore. I say it every day, and I mean it. I really do mean it. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, man, you just can't shop right at all. Ed Orgeron talked about a couple of players and updated their injuries. A little good news on the front. We'll tell you about that and much, much more. The Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Come on back.
Tiger. The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you're locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
All right, welcome back. Jimmy Burrow, the father of LSU quarterback Joe Burrow, coming up at about 32 minutes after the hour. Peterbilt of Louisiana with locations in Lafayette, Lake Charles, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans. New truck purchases, used truck purchases, leasing, rental. We've got a service department. We've got a body shop. We've got a parts department. And our parts department delivers value, selection, and savings that you'll always find prices that fit your budget. Professionals that know your truck and trusted brands that meet OEM specifications. You also have ongoing parts and program promotions. Look, Peterbilt's the best for a reason. They've reigned as America's premium quality heavy-duty truck manufacturer since the company's founding in 1939. Why? Because they concentrate on delivering high performance. They deliver low maintenance, and they deliver extremely durable vehicles that pay off in low operating costs, driver productivity, and high resale value. It's the dream of every trucker to own a Peterbilt. So if you're out on the highways and byways and you're in a truck, come on. Come take a look at Peterbilt. Peterbilt of Louisiana, Lafayette, Baton Rouge, Lake Charles, and New Orleans. Peterbilt, the best of the best. It's a new craze now, and it's interesting. Yesterday, Houston quarterback, Derek King, took a look at where his team was. They just lost to Tulane on that miracle play at the end of the game, remember? In New Orleans. They're 1-3. Derek King said, you know what? This season's not going the way I want it. So I played in four games. What's that NCAA rule say? You can play up to four games and take a redshirt. Derek King, the starting quarterback, taking a redshirt season. He says he's not going to play the remainder of the season so he can take a redshirt. The team's second leading wide receiver, Keith Corbin, also a senior, is going to sit out the rest of the season and redshirt as well. So basically, with the approval of Dana Holgorsen, the head coach, they've basically given up on the season. Yeah, we're 1-3. We ain't going anywhere. I'm going to sit out. And he says, my intent is to come play again at Houston. What are the odds that De'Aaron King goes back to play at Houston? He's going to concentrate on his schoolwork, get his degree. He'll become a grad. He's eligible to become a grad transfer. And guess who's waiting in the wings? Guess who's waiting in the wings? They have basically, in my book, become the Kentucky of college football. One and done. You come play 1 year for Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, and you go to the NFL. Jalen Hurts is going to be leaving Oklahoma after this season. What are the odds you give of De'Aaron King of Houston becoming the quarterback at Oklahoma? And a lot of coaches are starting to see this and want to do this because it helps them develop a program. You get older players. You get them in the weight room. You get them in film study. They develop a little bit more, and now you've got something to build upon. So I think this is a trend you're going to see more and more and more. Seasons, hey, wait, what difference does it make? We're 1-3. Look at the schedule we got. Yeah, red shirt. Let's get ready for next year. And coaches like to do that because it gives them a little bit more of, hey, look, we're going to be better. I know this is tough. This is the way we wanted it to go. But we're going to have this quarterback back next year. Not a guarantee, I can promise you that. But he can sell it right here and right now. So this is a new way. It's the empowerment of the players. And I'm not against that. I'm really not. So we'll see if this becomes a normalcy in the world of college football. We'll see. The Iowa-Iowa State rivalry game is in jeopardy. University of Iowa President Bruce Harreld questioned whether it should be played in the future in an interview with the school newspaper, The Daily Iowan. His comments came in the wake of members of the Hawkeye marching band saying they were verbally, physically, and sexually harassed at the September 14th game in Ames, Iowa. Come on, people. What did the band members do to you? I mean, come on. What did the band do to you? They did absolutely nothing. So why are you doing this? Why? A lot of angst happening with Kansas University and the Jayhawks. The FBI investigation into the world of recruiting in college basketball, and now they have been issued allegations, and they have 90 days in which to come back. 5 level 1 violations, which is lack of institutional control, which is the biggest thing that the NCAA, the biggest penalty the NCAA can administer to an athletic department and to a program. And Bill Self, being the head coach of that program, is in the eye of the storm as well. Many people thought, oh, they're not going to come after the Blue Bloods. They're too big. They're too important. Well, we'll see. Kansas has come out and said, we will vehemently argue this. We have done nothing wrong. Time will tell. What about some other schools out there? Arizona, you're listening? And I wonder if anything in our backyard. Time will tell. Time will tell. But this lack of institutional control with Kansas and Bill Self doesn't get any bigger or any worse than that. It just doesn't. Just doesn't. So stay tuned for that one. So the world of college athletics, players are starting to become more and more powerful in what they do and how they go about it. We'll see if this redshirt rule comes into effect. Heck, we did it with Miles Brennan last year, right? More, I think you're going to see more and more. When the season doesn't look very good, we'll play you early, see where it goes, and we're going to redshirt you, get you ready for next year. We'll see. A lot of people say, why go to Oklahoma? Why not come to LSU with this offense that they have, with the records that Joe Burrow is setting right here, right now, as LSU leads the country in points scored, and Joe Burrow's at the top of the heap in just about every statistical category passing the football. He's one or two in just about all of them. And LSU scoring in under 2 minutes on their touchdown drive. You talk about quick striking. So Ed Orgeron came out and said that Michael Divinity, it's not as bad as they thought it was. So he injured his leg in the second quarter, missed the remainder of the game. He was spotted after the game in a walking boot. Orgeron said there's been positive news since the return to Baton Rouge. He's going to be okay. It might be a couple of weeks. It's not as bad as it looked on the field. So that's awesome. Good for him. Terrace Marshall, one of LSU's breakout stars on offense through four games, he'll be sidelined for the foreseeable future after suffering a lower leg injury in the win. Marshall had surgery as a result of the injury. Orgeron is hopeful that he returns to the field this season for that offensive attack that ranks number one in the NCAA in scoring. It's all because they got a quarterback with a great game plan, and he executes it. We'll talk to the quarterback's dad, Jimmy Burrow, next.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers, and it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Well, it's been a great season so far. Four up, four down, and a record-setting offense led by just a true general on the field in Joe Burrow, and the numbers have been staggering, and we are thrilled to bring in somebody that knows him better than anybody, and that's his dad, the former defensive coordinator for Ohio University and now retired, so he can, and I think this is great, so he can see his son play his final year of college football. Can I call you Jimmy Burrow? You'll always be a coach in my book, but Jimmy Burrow, kind enough to join us, and thank you for your time. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, and you can call me anything you want to.
I'm calling you Glad. Take me back, because you know, your son wanted a change of venue, and he went out there to look to see where a good place for him to go to pursue his college career after things didn't go the way he expected them to go at Ohio State. Did you ever anticipate? First off, how did LSU convince you, with all the negative recruiting about how, man, they're just going to run the ball, how did they convince you guys to send your son to Baton Rouge?
Well, I think Coach Orgeron had a lot to do with it. You know, when Joe decided to leave Ohio State, which was not an easy decision in itself, he basically wanted to eventually to go to a place that had a chance to win the national championship. And the more we investigated LSU, you know, they didn't have a quarterback coming back. And then so that was the first point of interest for Joe. And then once we got there and we told them we were looking for what they were going to do offensively. Joe had already graduated. Academics wasn't a concern at the time. He wants to get a master's, and he'll have one at the end of this semester, but you know, that wasn't a determining factor. And so they convinced us that they were going to move in the direction of spread and throwing the ball more downfield. They had some film of every play Joe had at Ohio State, and they actually had some of those plays and that they had done in the spring ball. So it kind of all added up to being able to play at in a league at the highest level and convinced that that they were going to move forward with a new offense. And then third, just, you know, the trust and the belief in Coach Ogeron had a lot to do with it.
Awesome. Jimmy Burrow, kind enough to join us. Did you ever envision what you have witnessed in 4 weeks this year?
No, I mean, again, that's always the goal is to win a lot of games and have great success, you know, as the quarterback of a national championship contender. And really, I think if you ask Joe, that was always something that he thought was possible. And, you know, as a dad, we're always a little more cautious of your son's dream, but that's what he's dreamed about. That's why he went to Ohio State.
Right.
And then when he decided to leave again, that's why he chose LSU, to have that opportunity. So he probably would tell you that it's not surprising to him, but as a parent, you know, it is somewhat surprising. But we saw him do the same thing in high school, just at an entirely different level. But he looks now a lot like he did in high school, and a lot of people that have seen both would tell you the same thing.
That's awesome. There's a lot of UL Raging Cajun fans that want to give you some kudos and say a lot of thank yous because they went up to Athens, Ohio, and they took care of the Bobcats, and I finally figured out why. That's because all of Ohio was down in Nashville to watch your son play, and so all the fans left to come watch LSU play. So they wanted to thank you. What a turnout! That's got to be an awesome feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I felt a little bad about because I still love the Bobcats, and you know, my best friends are there still on the coaching staff, and Coach Solit. So, you know, we probably had about 300, yeah. And so I did feel great that they were able to do that, but I did feel a little bad that, you know, that they weren't there to support Ohio University. But, yeah, I mean, it started out Friday with a local young lady that performed down there at the Row, and Athens people pack that, and then they pack my tailgate before and after the game, and they all had their you know, Go Joe shirts on and LSU number 9, and it was a special day for my family and for our friends, and then LSU to perform like they did was kind of icing on the cake.
Take me back. You've had a football life. You played the game at a high level. You've coached at a high level. Was Joe one of those football junkies way back? I mean, did he hold on to Dad's leg when Dad was going to practice? Was he always around football?
He was always around it, but he was a very good baseball player and very good basketball player. He was a first team All State in basketball, and initially, you know, he was on the travel teams in baseball and basketball, and basketball seemed to be probably his ticket as he was growing up to maybe get a scholarship playing basketball. But he was always around our family. He's got two older brothers that, you know, that played at Nebraska, and so it was just a natural thing for him to be an athlete, but he wasn't ever one to really want to go to practice with me. He tended to do other things, but a lot of that had to do with playing other sports and being busy himself. But you know, I'd say he didn't have a whole lot of choice about at least giving it all a try because of our family, and we were fortunate that you know, that he did take a liking to it and wanted to be the very best. Even when he started playing football in the third grade, and I guess that's when he really started playing basketball and baseball. He played a little soccer, was probably his first competitive sport, but he always loved competing. Okay. and I think, again, that just comes from our family sports-oriented so much.
Yeah, I've always told people, let your kids play all the sports they want. Don't specialize in something early. They'll get burned out, so play them all. And your son is a true testament to that, and I highly recommend that for all kids.
Yeah, we were all for it. Some people thought that his best sport was actually baseball. He could hit. He was a home run hitter, and you know, he's good wherever he played in the outfield or third base or first base. But when we started to travel basketball teams, sort of an AAU circuit, it was just tough to continue to do both. And so that's when he chose, I think, around the eighth grade to quit playing baseball. But as a college coach, I loved it when guys played multiple sports. I especially liked that they played basketball because you could see their athleticism, you know, when you were watching them. And I thought it helped in their overall development.
Yes. I'm with you. Jimmy Burrow, kind enough to join us. Tigers have an off week this weekend. I want you to put your defensive coordinator hat on now. You've watched LSU for 4 weeks. I guess the question is, how much film study do you need to try and figure out what this team is doing? What do you think of this offense?
Well, offensively, you know, we're going to be tough to handle with our matchups and things like that. You know, all those receivers are capable of having big games, and offensive line has done such a great job of keeping pressure off of Joe. The running backs are doing a good job and tight ends, and it's just a total, you know, team effort as far as what we got on offense. What's amazing to me as a coach is, you know, Coach Ensminger and Coach Brady, their ability to work together and mix and match ideas. But
yes,
you know, there's other offensive coaches on that staff too. They've done a great job. The receivers catching the ball and that O-line is physical and protecting, and they do a good job on blitzes. And so it's really been fun to watch. That's not easy what they're doing, and it's not easy to jump into it the first game, second game, you know, through the fourth game, and be as efficient as they have been.
Jimmy Burrow, kind enough to join us. Is it? Look, I played at LSU basketball. I coached basketball at LSU as an assistant to Dale Brown, and I've gone in like you, and I've watched my children play. Man, that's the hardest thing in the world. How have you handled sitting in the stands watching Joe play?
Well, I thought once I retired from coaching and not being in the press box would eliminate a lot of the nerves and those type things, but it's the same. You know, you want LSU to win. You want Joe to have a great game, and it's nervous.
Oh, I think we just lost Jimmy Burrow. Clint, if you can try and get him back, I've got to ask Jimmy a couple more questions about his son. Jimmy Burrow, kind enough to join us as his son is setting record after record after record. 81% completion percentage, 17 touchdowns. He's already surpassed his touchdown total of a year ago when he had 16, only two interceptions, averaging 12.3 yards per pass. Kind of remarkable what Joe Burrow has done. Again, he is in one of the finalists for the Heisman Trophy if they would give it away today, and he has become a first-round draft pick in the minds and eyes of many a player. I mean, if Daniel Jones can do what he's doing, right? I just got a bone to pick with you, Coach. He's only completing 81% of his passes. What's wrong with the kid? Can we get better?
Well, I know at the end of that game that he wasn't going to be satisfied with the percentage that he had in Vanderbilt, and I was right. He thought that he should have been able to complete a few more balls, but they're teaching him where to throw it. He has a good understanding of the offense, as I said. The receivers are all a big part of recognizing coverages and blitzes, and one of my favorite plays of that game is when he pointed the blitz coming to Jamar at the slot and literally pointed out there to him, and Jamar mm-hmm. knows, hey, if I beat this guy, there's not many people back here, and he ran a slant, and Joe hit him, and I think he went 65, 70 yards for a touchdown. But so that's just a combination of a lot of different people, recognizing what's coming at them and executing the offense at a very high level. It's a long way to go for these guys, and they're going to start playing some really, really great defenses, and the people are going to start really throwing a lot of different things at them, would be my opinion here, as they especially continue to get into the SEC play.
I'm absolutely in agreement with you. Jimmy Burrow, kind enough to join us. Your son, I've had the privilege of talking to him and getting to know him a little bit. He's very calm, cool, collected. He's very guarded in what he says, but every now and then you see some of that competitive stuff come out. What did he say to you about going over to the Vanderbilt bench and talking to those guys like that? You got to be careful.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to get into what he did say. I'll stick with what he said in the press conference, and we'll go with that. But there's a thin line.
Okay.
There's a thin line from going too far. There's a thin line between disrespecting your opponent, and I think Joe has a crossed that line. But you certainly have to be careful. Those guys, the head coach was a friend of mine, the offensive coordinator was a friend of mine, the director of football operations is a friend of mine. I coached with all three of those guys, so I would prefer probably that he doesn't do things like that, but you don't want to put a stop in the his emotion, and I think his guys feed off of that, and they
That's
have
right.
his back in that, just like Joe would have their back if they got into a little scuffle. But I don't think you want him going out there and doing those type things every snap. But as you said, I think he is guarded out there, and sometimes he just feels the need to pop up some guys, I think.
I love his attitude. I love his toughness. I love all of that about him. And look, LSU scored more points in their first four games than any team in the history of the Southeastern Conference. I mean, in the history. And I can remember some of those spurrier teams with Danny Werfel and some other ones, and the fact that LSU has done what they've done, it's been quite remarkable. And, I just wish your son continued good health. I hope he's taking that offensive line out to eat and making sure that they're happy and they're taking good care of them. And, This might be an expensive year for you. I hope you got enough saved in the old retirement kitty.
Well, I'm not used to spending that kind of money on games. Everything's free for a coach, travel, and hotel, and food. And my wife told me before we ever started, she just said, hey, look, you can't worry about what we're spending here. This is a choice that we made as a family, and we're going to enjoy it and have fun and support Joe and LSU, and it's been awesome. The support that we've gotten from the LSU fans, when we're at tailgates and when we're in the stands, it couldn't have worked out better for us than it has so far.
Just one tip that I'm going to give you, okay? You've got a Heisman Trophy candidate. I know, it is what it is. They find you in the stands now, so you got to be careful, okay? Because the camera is on you, big guy, so just be careful.
Well, one time in the Texas game, I did the horns down, and everybody in the country seemed to see it. I was at a restaurant that following week, and about 10 of my players from Ohio came in, and right when they walked in the door and they saw me, they started doing the horns down, and my all-conference safety came over, and he said, "Coach, do you know how mad you would have been if I'd have done something like that?" And I said, "Yes, I do. I won't do it again." But they, everybody got a kick out of it. It's just, again, being a fan, being a parent, and getting caught up in the emotion. It was fun.
I love every second of it. Man, you go and live it to the fullest. Enjoy it. And if they can't take the horns down, shame on them. But I can't thank you enough for your time. And you and your wife have done a wonderful job raising a fine young man. So my congratulations to you. And it's got to be a dream come true to be able to see your son living his dream come true. It's got to be enjoy every minute of it, Coach.
I did grow up, I grew up down in Mississippi in the SEC, so it is big and special for our family. My dad played basketball at Mississippi State, so I've always known about LSU, and just to be a part of it for our family is a great experience for us.
Well, we got to get you back on again one of these days, but thanks for the time, and take the weekend off. Save some money, okay?
I'm going to the Nebraska game, so Nebraska, Ohio State. So I'm just going to a different venue. I'm excited.
There you go. All right, you can't keep a good man down. Jimmy Burrow, Joe Burrow's dad, kind enough to join us here. What a guy! It's got to be fun, huh? Got to be fun. All right, we'll be back to wrap up hour number one. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game. 103.7TheGame.com.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
All right, we're back. That was fun. That was fun. You know what else is fun? You know, we asked you to submit photos of your ugly recliner for a chance to win a brand new recliner from 103.7 The Game and Bordelon's Home Furnishings, and we got some great submissions. Now, we chose five finalists. Now we need your help to decide who should win. So just do me a favor. Go to 103.7TheGame.com. Take a look. Look at all the five finalists. See what you think. And then we need you to vote for your favorite. The voting will take place until September 29th, all right? Until September 29th. So go ahead, 1037thegame.com. Take a look and vote on who's got the ugliest recliner out there. Because they're all ugly, but you got to find the ugliest of the ugliest. And that person's going to get a brand new recliner. Compliments of 1037 The Game and Bordelon's Home Furnishings. If you missed Jimmy Burrow's interview, you can go to 1037thegame.com, and Clint will have that thing up there running in no time. Hot topics coming up to start off hour number two. We'll talk LSU hoops, and we'll talk Saints with Mike Neighbors of Cox Sports Television. It's all coming your way after the top of the hour sports update and much, much more here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station. We're dadgum proud that we are. We'll be right back.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7TheGame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Holtberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Holtberg.
Hour number two of two, and away we go. CD back in the master control suite, spinning the tunes, pushing all the buttons, and we welcome you aboard. We won't back down. Won't back down. That's the new slogan of the New Orleans Pelicans. Hashtag WBD. Won't back down. All right, we're getting ready for Zion and Drew, and Hoops is right around the corner. But what a great start for the Tigers, the Cajuns, and the Saints. It's knock on wood, baby. It has been awesome to boot. Yes, indeed. We do it every day at this time of day. Let's take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, do that thing that you do so well.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious. Decidedly better.
All right, CD, what were the Raiders thinking? Why would they trade Khalil Mack? How good is he? Golly.
It makes you wonder a lot of decisions that have been made since John Gruden took over. I mean, you talk about Khalil Mack, obviously, that's the one everybody's been talking about. But, I mean, they also got rid of Amari Cooper as well for pretty much nothing. And that guy has been absolutely on a tear with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep. I know, we got to face him coming up Sunday night. But it's in the dome, baby, so rock and roll. Here we go.
Exactly.
Can't wait.
Exactly, Jordy. The last time these two teams played inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, it came down to a very quick strike in overtime. The first play, in fact, and that was a wild one, to, you guess it, Jordy, C.J. Spiller. Where is that guy now?
Yeah, he was there for one when it, for one it, when it counted, but he's probably back somewhere near Clemson, and he's probably working in the athletic department, and he's probably happy as a lark.
You can about imagine, Jordy, but of course I think we need to talk about a lot of different things, and you brought it up in the top of the hour. I kind of want to bring it up again with De'Aaron King and that entire situation. It's a mess going on with the University of Houston. Do you believe that we could start seeing this be a more frequent trend for certain programs? That we see it whenever, you know, the team is starting to put it in the tank, where you see players wind up saying, you know what, I played four games, I'm done.
I see it. I see coaches trying to persuade kids to do this. We're not winning this season. We're not going to, you know, the playoffs. We're not going to a group of six bowl. We're not doing any of that stuff. So let's just take the air out of the ball right now. Let's get you concentrating on your schoolwork, get you in the weight room, get you in the playbook, and we'll be great next year with you. I see this as a trend that is going to happen more and more and more often, and it means that the rich will be getting richer. If you're a senior and you can redshirt, you can get your degree, you're a grad transfer, and away you go into the portal. And some of the bigger schools will benefit from it. I see this as something that coaches will want to do, and they will try to persuade their players to do so.
Exactly. It's something just to kind of keep an eye on going forward to see what's be going on with this rule that you've been talking about. But I'm going to flip it over for a minute when it comes to the NBA for a second, because I saw this pop up earlier today, and that is a rumor report coming out of LaMelo Ball's camp negotiating a sneaker contract. There's a lot of buzz, according to ESPN's Jonathan Givney, saying that there's a chance if he keeps up what he's doing, he can wind up probably being the number one pick in the 2020 draft. How wild is that? Mind you, it's late September, but still to think that a Ball brother that's not Lonzo is considered to be number one pick.
I'll believe it when I see it. Okay, I'll believe it when I see it. But look, these kids don't go to school. They're just out there playing ball all the time. So, look, good for them. The shoes are a disaster. Nobody's even talking about them. Certainly nobody's buying them anymore. They're awful shoes. And I think the best thing for Lonzo is the fact that he's gotten away from Los Angeles, and it seems to me that things are quieter now. In fact, ESPN came up with their NBA rank for the 100 best players in basketball. Derek Favors at number 96, J.J. Redick at 73, Lonzo Ball at 68, Ingram is at 56, Zion hadn't bounced the ball at all yet, he's at 42, and Drew Holiday at 31. So there's six of your most talented players, and they're all in the top 100. Can't wait for hoops. Can't wait.
I can't wait for it either, Jordy. Obviously, you got the Pelicans and all the good vibes coming from there. You got the LSU Tigers fresh off a Sweet 16 performance in the NCAA tournament. And sticking with that, Jordy, college basketball style, we didn't get to this yesterday because I think this kind of dropped after we got off air, and that was what's going on with Kansas and the charges. Some very serious charges, level one violations they've been charged with. Jordy, it definitely does not look good, but it's surprising to think that a program like Kansas is getting these big level one violation allegations, Jordy.
I think the NCAA had to do something after all of the work done by the FBI and all of the documents that they read. They had to do something, and Kansas was egregious in their ways. Contrary to what Kansas is saying, they're going to fight vehemently against this, and they better, because if they don't, they'll be in, anytime you have level one and you have the term lack of institutional control, that's trouble in River City. So stay tuned for that one. But I guarantee you, Arizona's sitting on pins and needles. I can promise you that.
Oh, you can about imagine everybody right about now in terms of those blue bloods is standing on pins and needles waiting to see what's going to happen, because you know the next shoe is probably going to drop before too long. Flipping on over to the NFL, Jordy, during Monday Night Football, that the snooze of a ball game, looks like a new rivalry was born after the Athletic Kansas City put out on Monday night that Pat Mahomes has thrown 36% of Troy Aikman's career touchdowns in about 8% of the games. And it's a great stat. It's definitely a compliment to Mahomes. But Troy Aikman responds with, "Talk to me when he has 33% of my Super Bowl titles."
Exactly. I don't know why they're doing all that. I don't know why they're saying all that stuff. That's crazy. Look, Mahomes is great. Aikman was great in his time, and he had some great players around him, and they did win Super Bowls. So I don't know why they got to do all that kind of stuff. It seems such a waste of time to me, a waste of energy and effort. But good for Aikman. Good for him. You're going to take shots at me? Okay, what counts the most for a quarterback? How many Super Bowl rings do you have? Talk to me when you get some.
It's good for Aikman. At the same time, it's good for the Athletic Kansas City, because, again, you want to kind of throw out some content here and there, especially during Monday Night Football, when you know a lot of the NFL fan base is already on Twitter. So why not kind of throw that out there to get eyes on the product? I like the idea of it.
Look, it's all about what self-promotion, all right?
Yep.
It's all about your brand. So if that's what it takes, go ahead. Go for it.
Exactly, Jordy.
Absolutely. Well, interesting stuff. All right, there's your hot topics for the day. Well done, City. You covered the broad spectrum of sports. You even had a LaMelo Ball reference in there. Wow, that's awesome. That's brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce on the planet. It really is. The Biart family for nearly 90 decades have been putting out the same great product year after year after year, day after day after day, because they use the finest spices, they use the finest peppers, they take it seriously, and they demand excellence each and every day from everyone that works under their umbrella. And it's a great place to work, it's a great place to have fun, it's a great place to earn a living, and it's a great place to taste the best hot sauce on the planet. So do yourself a flavor. Wherever you go, make sure you have a small bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. Won't back down, say the Pelicans. The Tigers are hoping they can maintain their toughness and their physicality and their great in-shape ability during games. Will Wade and the Tigers open up practice on Friday. We'll get a preview next. This is the Jordy Helfert Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helfert Show on 103.7 The Game.
Well, as we all know, LSU football has the weekend off, but LSU basketball is rolling the balls out on the Pete Maravich Assembly Center floor. They start practice for the upcoming season this Friday. They've got 30 practices they can get in 42 days. Will Wade and senior guard Skylar Mays had a little press conference yesterday. Our next guest, Tyler Nunez of the Tiger Rag and Tiger Rag Magazine, was there to kind of fill us in. Tyler, thanks for the time, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing over there?
We're doing terrific. I appreciate the time. It's been a while since Will Wade was on the court. How excited is he to be back in the fray to get this club getting ready to roll?
Yeah, well, I think that he's starting to feel things are starting to feel a little bit more normal for him. It's been a while since that's been the case. He said they still need to find a routine, which they're still waiting on. They went on a trip to Spain. He was able to coach there. I think he's been working with them, watching film throughout the off season, and I think he's ready for a normal basketball season to take place, because as we know, the end of last season was anything but normal.
We're with Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag. Before that normalcy comes about with everyday practice, Tyler, the Tigers are in what they call boot camp. Is that climbing ropes and lifting those big heavy tires and moving them up? What is boot camp to LSU basketball?
You know, I think it changes from year to year, but I think the consistency is that it gets their bodies and minds ready for the season. The idea is they're going to work very hard on conditioning. They're going to work very hard on staying mentally tough. I know that Will Wade is a really big fan of having those guys kind of go through a really hard time during the off season, so that the regular season is a little bit more bearable. So I'm not exactly sure what the workouts entail. I just know that they are very work intensive and they're very difficult to kind of get through. But in the end, the goal is to make sure that they're ready for the season.
Will has said they want to run more. They run an awful lot, but they want to run more. And I think we're going to see a new type of an offense now that Naz Reid, Cavell Bigby Williams, and Tremont Waters are gone. Not so much of a ball screen oriented offense, but more of a motion offense. But they're not going to give up the ball screen. But I kind of like that with this club. That spreads the court out a little bit more and creates driving lanes.
Yeah, absolutely. The best comparison I can give you is last year's Auburn team, which made the Final Four with that kind of squad. The key to it is they're going to have to shoot well, and that includes the big guys like Emmitt Williams and Darius Days. What they plan to do is they plan to run the floor. They're going to spread the ball out, and what they hope that'll do is that'll open up the center of the middle of the court, so they can get some drives and easy layups. And whenever teams have to crash on defense, then they can kind of kill them with the three. So. We've seen teams do this in the past. He did it at VCU with success. It's kind of a staple of mid-major basketball, and it's kind of spread throughout the entirety of college basketball. And as long as the guys are shooting well, it should work pretty well.
We're talking with Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag, LSU basketball, getting ready to roll it out and start things up on Friday, the first practice of the season with again, high expectations. Will Wade talks about we're going to score a lot of points. We just got to be able to stop people. And one of the guys he keeps raving about is Emmitt Williams, who entered the NBA pre-draft process, found out some of the good, found out some of the bad, and apparently – he's taken it to heart, and he's come out like a beast.
Yeah, apparently so, and that's funny because last year he was a beast. But if you saw him on the floor, I mean, he's just really a hard worker, just a guy who's going to hustle on every single play. Mm-hmm. But I think what the NBA pre-draft process taught him is exactly what he needs to accomplish in order to get to that level. And I think he's really taken it very seriously. He apparently before Will Wade went to Nashville on Friday for that coach's caravan and ultimately the LSU football game. He found Emmett Williams watching film at 8 a.m. in the PMAC. I think that I think he was ready to kind of grow up. I think last year was his freshman year. He wasn't really expected to contribute in the way that Naz Reid was expected to. This year, he wants to be that guy. He wants to be a leader on and off the floor. And I think a lot of that you can attribute to the fact that he went through that pre-draft process and he saw exactly what it's going to take to play in the NBA.
Tyler, it sounds like we're going to be playing small ball. I don't think we have too many bigs. I think, like you mentioned, and it's a great comparison, Auburn and what they were able to do. You give up a little bit on one end, but it makes it awfully difficult for others to guard you on the other end. So there's a little give and take, but this looks like this is going to be a three-point shoot and run up and down the floor kind of a ball club.
Yeah, absolutely. And watch a guy that we talked to Will about yesterday, watch out for Darius Days. He kind of played, I think he played like 18 to 20 minutes a game last year, was kind of spotty, and he got into some foul trouble. But if he can stay out of that foul trouble this year and he can stay healthy, I think he's going to have an explosive year with his ability to shoot the ball and his ability to defend three or four different positions on the floor. I think that it's going to open things up for Trenton Watford as well, the incoming five-star freshman that everyone's very excited to see in an LSU uniform. I think that they kind of built this offense around the personnel that they have, and they went out and got Deshaun Thomas, a kind of a true power forward slash center that can play in the post when necessary. He's a little bit nicked up right now, but they expect him to be a solid rebounder, and they're hoping that he can kind of fill the role of a Cavell Bigby Williams, which those are big shoes to fill, both metaphorically and literally. I think you're right. A majority of what we're going to see is them kind of playing a small motion style offense where they're going to be shooting the ball at a quick pace. They want to score quick and score often.
Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag talking LSU basketball. This Saturday will mark a year since the tragic death of Wade Sims. And I know LSU is going to take a day away from the basketball court to go and to the graveside and show their respect and their love for someone who would have been a senior this year. And I know that's a special thing in the heart of all the LSU players and all of LSU basketball fans everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we were able to talk to Skylar Mays about it yesterday. And if you don't know, they've been playing basketball since they were tots, since they were kids. And they played high school basketball together. They went to LSU together. You can tell it really means a lot to him. Him and a few other players on this team that really knew him, that knew Wade Sims on a very deep and personal level. It's going to be a tough day on Saturday, but I think they're looking forward to it. I think it's something that they can use as kind of a team building the way they did last year. And last year it always felt like Wade Sims had a presence on that court. I have a feeling we're going to have a similar feeling this year just because so many guys on this team knew Wade Sims, and I don't see them forgetting him anytime soon.
I'm with you. This may be a tough question to answer, but I'm gonna share my thoughts, and you tell me if you agree or disagree. You lose three players, Naz Reid, Cavell Bigby Williams, Tremont Waters. Of the three, to me, the one you miss the most is Cavell Bigby Williams. His rebounding ability, his shot-altering ability, his shot-blocking ability. I think that's the piece of the puzzle that they've got to find and figure out somehow, some way to replace. I love the backcourt that LSU already has, and I think they can make up for Naz Reid in a variety of ways. I don't know if you can replace a Bigby Williams. Are you in agreement or disagreement?
I think I agree. I think that, as far as the pieces that they don't have, they have no one that can really kind of do what Cavell Bigby Williams came in and did last season. I think that they're going to be hoping to get a little bit more rebounding from Emmett Williams and Darius Days, who, when he was on the floor, rebounded very well and very aggressively. Obviously, you want to see Trenton Watford. We haven't seen him yet, but hopefully he can go out and get some. But hustle rebounds are going to be kind of LSU's mainstay this year. They're not going to have a guy who can just kind of stay there and A, defend the post the way that Cavell was, and B, kind of go up and get those boards the way he did, including against some NBA talent. So I think, it's a really tough tough spot to fill, and I think that's why we've seen the transition, or why we're going to see this transition in their style of offense, because Frank, and we're going to see it in the defense too as well. We're going to see them trying to force teams to take three pointers. We're going to try to see them to force them out on the perimeter and try to spread them out. So, the fact that they had to change their entire offensive scheme because they don't have someone like that, I think that it's a testament to that point.
I'm looking forward to it. It gets underway on Friday. Tyler Nunez covers a variety of things for Tiger Rag and does a terrific job. Thanks for the update, man. We'll talk again soon. Take care.
Yeah, anytime. Y'all have a good one.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much. We'll take a quick time out here. That brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana, with offices in Lafayette, Lake Charles, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans. And we offer a large selection of parts and accessories, including the latest in Peterbilt products. And if we don't have it in stock, we can find it for you. We can assist you with customizing your medium-duty or heavy-duty truck. You get the most satisfying results when you tell Peterbilt exactly how you want your truck to look. So we can customize Peterbilt all the time. So let them help you design yours. Stop by, enjoy the friendly service for all of your parts and accessory needs. Peterbilt of Louisiana, it is the dream of every truck driver to own a Peterbilt. Mike Nabors and the Saints next.
Who's got game and who's the next big thing at LSU? Jordy Hultberg will set you straight on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Well, not only do we try and bring you what's the next big thing at LSU, we try and bring you the best thing coming up with the New Orleans Saints, and that means the Dallas Cowboys that are coming to town for a Sunday night primetime affair. We're still reveling in the 33-27 win in Seattle. Mike Nabors, Cox Sports Television, was there. This was a first for you, Mike, because this was the first time after the game you didn't get the first and final word with Drew Brees. That had to be a little odd for you. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, it was definitely strange. You know, I even interviewed Drew Brees after he didn't play against the Carolina Panthers in 2015 when Luke McCown had the start in that game. So I've never missed him. And since he's been in New Orleans State, we didn't have him the first year. But since 2007, it was the first time. It was kind of strange.
He wouldn't pick up the phone and call you and y'all could do a phone interview like we're doing right now?
I wanted to go easy on the thumb this week.
Yeah, very good, very good. All right, considering the circumstances, the environment, it had to be one of the most impressive road wins in the Sean Payton era.
Yeah, it was funny. Before the game, that crowd is very lively, one of the loudest crowds in the NFL, and they have this heckler that yells at all the players and the coaches, and he's had a long-term relationship with Sean Payton, calls him a scab, tries to get under his skin, dating back to when Sean Payton was with the Bears, and Payton actually walked up to him, kind of smiled, but that was kind of symbolic of that place. It's tough to play there. And the Saints, to me, showcase what kind of team they are, and as much as they miss Drew Brees, you know, this is a different team. This is a better team than Brees has had maybe since the Super Bowl years, obviously, because they're more well-rounded. I mean, you saw it with the special team score. You saw it with the defensive score. And it was only the third time in franchise history, Jordy, that they've scored in all three phases of the game. So that was kind of impressive.
It really was. Are you a believer now to that point that, you know, it used to be that the Saints had to get 300 or more yards of offense for them to have a chance to win? It seems like that's not the case anymore. The defense is much better. The kick coverage, the punting is unbelievable. Are you in that school of thought now? They don't have to put up such huge numbers offensively to win?
Yeah, I think it's more of a balance. And you've seen when Sean Payton and Drew Brees have been more effective, they've had that balance. I thought, you know, Brees going out in Los Angeles really hurt them because they needed some of that firepower through the air because the defense was getting gassed with so many punts in that game. So they missed Brees in Los Angeles. I think Teddy Bridgewater is what he is. He's not going to make a big mistake for you, but he's not going to really wow you out there either. He's the ultimate game manager. He's going to make a lot of smart decisions, but he's not going to be Drew Brees. But that's why they're paying him all this money, because not many NFL teams have a Teddy Bridgewater they can put in there and he could perform. Now, it hurt them in Los Angeles, but the fact that they spotted him with that punt return for a touchdown and helped him with that defensive touchdown, they're not going to get that every game, but it's going to buy Teddy Bridgewater time to get more comfortable in this offense, and I think that will really help him moving on against Dallas this week.
You said he makes smart decisions. It seems like the smartest decision he could make is find Alvin Kamara and give him the ball, whether it's running it or throwing it to him. Give, in the headlines of the Advocate, Captain Kamara. I mean, my goodness, what a player.
Yeah, he makes it look easy, and B even makes it easier by just the tackles that he breaks. I mean, it's unbelievable. I've never seen a running back break tackles like that and make it look so easy. And I think we wondered, you know, how would he be without Mark Ingram? I know they brought in Latavius Murray, but Latavius Murray was, let's face it, a non-factor in that Seattle game. Kamara is proving more and more that he can be that bell cow back, kind of like the Christian McCaffrey in Carolina. So I think the more he gets used to it, the more we're going to see him, and just the more we're going to be amazed by what he does.
You know all about television. If you were the GM, would you be happy with a broadcast rating of 53% and a 72 share in New Orleans? Would you okay, my job is safe?
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, the preseason ratings are the best in the NFL for the New Orleans Saints. And it was kind of funny, too, but last year when they boycotted the Super Bowl, you saw the numbers significantly go down. So the Houdat Nation was definitely backing up its bite by not watching the Super Bowl. So if they show out, you're going to tell. And, yeah, it's amazing the support they give the Saints week in and week out. You don't see it anywhere any better in the NFL than New Orleans and Louisiana, frankly.
Did they travel up to Seattle? Did you see a lot of Saints fans there, given all the circumstances?
You know what? I saw more in Los Angeles, especially early, because Seattle's such a good home crowd. It's tough to hear when you have visiting fans. But L.A. is not a good home crowd, and there were so many empty seats. I think, I'm not sure about this, but it seemed like in the Coliseum a week ago, there were so many empty seats, Jordy, that maybe Saints fans were smart enough to say, you know what, if they're not going to show up, I'll move over here. Because when the Saints were making plays early in that game, it seemed like more Saints fans were in L.A., but Seattle or a Kansas City, venues like that, where they're some of the loudest in the NFL, it's going to be tough to really differentiate the visiting fans from the home fans.
We're talking with Mike Nabors of Cox Sports Television. Who did you interview after that game? Did anybody take the place of Breeze?
Yeah, it's funny. It was such a great game in terms of all-around play that we got Von Bell, who scored a touchdown. DeMario Davis, an interesting thing with Breeze is Breeze sent out kind of a mass text saying, you know, guys, good luck. You know, I can't do the Houdat chant. I'm just paraphrasing. And DeMario Davis, the Saints linebacker, took it upon himself to get back to Breeze and say, hey, I'd like to do the pregame chant. Can I do it? And Breeze said, go for it. And DeMario Davis said he was so fired up doing the pregame chant because that's Breeze's baby. He doesn't even remember what he said. I mean, it was so emotional. If you watch it, you could tell he didn't prepare anything. It was all from the heart, so it was funny getting that story, too. So that's the kind of team this is, though. You get a lot of contributors, and it's a good locker room and a lot of leaders. So not having Breeze actually was kind of – it wasn't a challenge based on how the game played and based on all the great personalities in that locker room.
Mike, there's so many takes from this. One, the fact that the Saints stayed out on the West Coast. That's a costly, costly endeavor. But it shows you that Gail Benson is committed to this club. I mean, my goodness gracious, that was a big chunk of change to stay out there with the amount of people that travel with the Saints and all the support staff and all. So that shows me the commitment to this team and to this to the coaching staff and to the city. They're going to do whatever it takes to help this team win.
Yeah, Sean Payton was real testy last week, and for good reason. Obviously, he lost Drew Brees, and they lost a game against the L.A. Rams, so he wasn't happy about that. But apparently his mood got better and better throughout the week because the practices were getting better and better. And the first thing Sean Payton said in his post-game press conference was, we had a great week of practice, and he kind of had a great sense about his football team going into that Seattle game. So to me, that reflects well not on the head coach, not only on the head coach, but the football team too, that they stepped up after losing their leader and stepped up after a loss where they could have hung their heads a little bit. So I think that bodes well for them moving forward.
Old ownership may not have forked over the money to stay out where they did for all those days, but it was a brilliant move on their part, no question about it. Health-wise, how are the Saints heading into Dallas?
I think they're really good. I get this feeling Brees, they say 6 weeks. I got a feeling he's going to come back before the bye week because that's what Drew Brees kind of tends to do is beat the odds a little bit. But I think besides Drew Brees, I think they're in excellent health. I mean, you know, you look at both sides of the football, no major injuries coming out of that Seattle game, and it was such a team win. So I think they're feeling good. I think Dallas, though, Jordy, I think this is going to be an extremely tough game. And I think the Saints are fortunate. It's in the Superdome. And, you know, it's a Sunday night game, so they have a little more time to prepare. But this Dallas team is really good.
They showed it a year ago against the Saints. They were one of the very few teams that that just – control the line of scrimmage, and the Saints had a very difficult time doing anything offensively. So, that's in Sean Payton's back pocket. Isn't Sean Payton just smiling to himself, going, you see there, you talk about Sean McVay, you talk about all these coaches, I lose my starting quarterback, I'm on the road against Seattle, we're coming off of a loss to the Rams, and we stick it to him. I mean, deep in his heart, he's got to be really happy and proud of that.
Yeah, I think, it opened a lot of eyes around the NFL. I heard Troy Aikman say one of the games that really stood out for him was the Saints going up to Seattle and winning a game like that without Drew Brees. I think it was one of the signature wins for Sean Payton. And I also think it was kind of intriguing that he went in saying, you know, I'm not sure who's going to start. Is it going to be Bridgewater? Is it going to be Taysom Hill? Well, Taysom Hill, to me, had a smaller role than he did with Drew Brees. I mean, he played a little bit here and there, but that was Bridgewater's game. So there was some gamesmanship there. But Sean Payton's going to float that carrot as long as Drew Brees is away, and he can do that because he's the one that's brought Taysom Hill into New Orleans and made him the versatile player that he is. So it'll be interesting to see, the more Bridgewater gets comfortable, if Taysom Hill makes more of an appearance like he does with Drew Brees. We saw shades of it in Seattle, but I don't think as much as we expected. And hearing Sean Payton talk throughout the week, you thought you didn't think Taysom Hill would start, but you thought he may have a more prominent role, and he really did.
Yeah. No, I think he's going to have a much more prominent role at home against Dallas. I can't say it often enough. The special teams play by the Saints. Is there a better punter in the league than Thomas Morstead? My goodness gracious. That was a key element to the win. His punting and downing the ball deep in Seattle territory.
Yeah, what's funny is he was one of our one-on-ones after the game, and he said it was a unique game because usually, he said, when I play a lot, we don't win. And I played a lot, and we won. So it was a rare game for Thomas Morstead, and he's such a humble guy. He was giving all the credit to Deontay Harris for returning that punt for a touchdown. But Thomas Morstead has been, the constant for this team, along with Drew Brees for such a long time. And he's going to be iconic in Saints history. I mean, I don't see him slowing down at all, as we saw last week. I mean, remember when he was drafted, a lot of people said, why are they drafting a punter, I believe, in the fifth round? But Thomas Morstead is not only, one of the best special teamers in Saints history, he's one of the best Saints in Saints history. And it'll be interesting to see how long he plays because, as I said, I don't see him slowing down that much.
And he's the holder for Will Lutz field goals, so that's critical. I want your comment on this. Sean Payton said on the Saints coaches show this week that his plans are to increase Deontay Harris's offensive plays from 6 to 7 to 16 to 17, so 10 more plays, and get him involved more in screens and jet sweep plays. Is that just something to give Dallas thoughts about, or do you think that's sincere?
Well, you know, Sean Payton likes gamesmanship, so I don't know if it's going to be that high volume of plays, but any other weapon that he can incorporate in that offense. I mean, you know, I thought it was kind of a weird dynamic because the first game, you know, Ted Ginn caught seven balls and Traquan Smith caught a touchdown and Taysom Hill caught a touchdown. You see that the supporting cast with Michael Thomas is kind of dampened a little bit. I mean, Jared Cook to me has been a big disappointment. I thought he would thrive in this offense, and he still might, but he didn't make any big contributions in Seattle. Yeah. So I think Sean Payton in the back of his mind is saying, you know what, we thought we had all these weapons with Michael Thomas when we saw it in that first game. Maybe he's not sure if a lot of those guys can consistently step up, and he's going to have to get a Deontay Harris involved. But to me, Jared Cook, the numbers that he put up away from Drew Brees, you figure, you know, coming in and playing with the Drew Brees or playing in this offense, he would get, you know, more catches and more yardage there. But it hadn't been the case. I think that will improve. But I think Sean Payton maybe is tinkering with, you know, I got to get Michael Thomas some help here.
Yeah. And Michael Thomas, other than some third down conversions, wasn't really the Michael Thomas that we're used to. He wasn't targeted early in the game. So that's just another feather in the Saints' cap to show, hey, we got more than just a quarterback and a wide receiver and a running back. Whatever it takes, we'll figure out a way. And, I just think the Superdome is going to be going nutso, even more nutso than usual, Sunday because of the win in Seattle plus the hatred that they have for the Cowboys.
Yeah, Jordy, you look at the schedule. They play the Dallas Cowboys. I know it's dangerous to kind of look ahead, but I think after 3 weeks of the football season, we have a better feel for the NFL than we did in the preseason. So if you look at the schedule, it's pretty tough before the bye week. I mean, I know you have the Bucs and the Arizona Cardinals. Those are probably winnable games, but you play a Dallas team that's among the best in the NFL. You play a Jaguar team on the road who has this young quarterback who's making them believe, and then you have a Bears team. We saw how good they looked on Monday night. So Breeze goes out at a very vulnerable time for this football team. If they can beat Dallas and win a couple of these big games, and then you get Breeze back for a stretch run that is full of NFC South teams that at face value right now don't look very good, I think that bodes well for the Saints. So I guess what I'm saying is a win against Dallas would really set the tempo and build confidence for this team, because I thought Teddy Bridgewater said something very interesting. I asked him about how much this win would help his confidence, and he admitted that they felt like a desperate team going into Seattle. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder, obviously because they don't have their leader, and a lot of people are counting them out. So winning against Seattle would really help them, but, boy, winning against Dallas would really set the tone for the season in a big way.
That would alert the entire league. One last one before I let you get out of here. There are some of the belief that if the Saints can tread water and maybe go a little bit ahead of 500 by the time Breeze comes back, Drew Breeze has got some rest. He's rested that arm a little bit. He's fresh and hungry and ready to go. Are you in that camp he could turn this thing loose the last half of the season?
Yeah, the second half of last season wasn't good, but obviously he had some offensive line injuries, and I'll still go back to me, it's amazing what that offense did last year with Michael Thomas not having any help. Yeah, he comes back, he's rested. I think the offensive line will play better at that point. McCoy, you know, his center is much more experienced, and you would think that the complementary parts on the offense will be that much better too. I really like the Saints' chances if they can just keep it alive till he gets back. And I still think Breeze may come back for that Arizona game just because he likes beating the odds a little bit. So, yeah, I buy into all of that. I think he'll feel better, and, you know, I think he'll be ready for the stretch run, especially if this team can win a couple games that many didn't think they would. And they've already done, you know, with one of them in Seattle.
Yeah, I thought Seattle would be the tougher one. I thought Dallas would be the one that they could get because is it home? God, they go 2-0 with that. Look out. Mike Nabors, Cox Sports Television, you're the best. Greatly appreciated. Safe travels back to Nolens, and we'll talk to you again soon, my friend. Thank you.
Anytime, Jordy.
All right, Mike Nabors, Cox Sports Television. We'll be back to wrap things up. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlet. 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. Special deals each and every day. My goodness. It's just worth it just to go in and see. I can save that much? Are you kidding me? ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets. They're the best. We'll be back on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
All the best guests join the Jordy Helfrich Show. If you missed an interview, you can check it out on demand at 1037thegame.com. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, we had a good one. Great catching up with Joe Burrow's dad, coach, the ex-coach, Jimmy Burrow, Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag, talking LSU hoops and our visit weekly with Mike Nabors of Cox Sports Television, as he covers the New Orleans Saints. We are brought to you by D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Frankie's a great guy. He loves him, the Tigers and the Cajuns, the Saints, the Pelicans. He loves them all. You can tell by some of the memorabilia he's got inside of his store. And he's got so much stuff, including that true, I mean that original soul food deli tucked away in the corner. It's the best cheeseburger I've ever had. I've had their fried catfish. It's really, really good. Cooked fresh to order, good to go, ready to go. That's DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. All right, let's go to our daily history lesson. Boy, I tell you what, it was September 24th, the year 1994, forever known as Colorado's Miracle at Michigan, remember?
The defense, I'd have a few more guys over there.
Three wide outs at the top of the picture. Stewart with time. Let's it go. He's got three people down there. The ball's up in the air. Caught. Touchdown. Caught by Westbrook for a touchdown. Incredible.
The great voice of Keith Jackson. That was Cordell Stewart chunking a Hail Mary that was deflected by Michigan, caught by Colorado wide receiver Michael Westbrook, and the Buffaloes beat the Wolverines. The Miracle at Michigan on this day, September 24th, 1994. If today's your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. You share with the likes of Clint's crush. Happy 43rd birthday to Stephanie McMahon. Ooh. And former LSU, he was a really good running back from Independence. Charlie Baglio coached him. LeBrandon Tofield celebrating a birthday today. If it's your anniversary, happy, happy anniversary. Tomorrow, heavy dose of college football. Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football on the SEC, and Michael Huguenin of The Athletic on the entire world of college football. Until tomorrow, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Thanks to listening. Thanks to our partners that make it happen. Have a great one. Tune in tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4. Same great station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I am Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.